Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Let's all drop trow and find out. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and we answered the call. Each week, Will and myself are joined by guests to discuss movies, television, popular culture, and anything else we fucking feel like talking about. How you doing, Will?
Not good. I got jury duty tomorrow.
Really?
I have to do my civic duty.
Well, maybe if you're lucky, you'll end up like Henry Fonda in 12 Angry Men, and you'll be the deciding...
I've always wanted to do that, and it'll be like a clear-cut case of where, like, he clearly raped this girl, but I want to find the evidence to set the man free.
Although
I'll be psychotic.
Yeah, although more realistically, you'll probably end up like Pauly Shore in jury duty, so...
Yes, which we all remember that classic.
Oh, it came out around the same time as Son-in-Law and In the Army Now. So jury duty, well, enjoy that. I hope you bring a book, because it can be long and lonely.
It's going to be a nightmare. I'm not getting on a trial.
Yeah, really? We'll find out about that next week.
I'm too pragmatic. They'll put me on a trial.
On a further note, we will not be podcasting for 6 weeks because Will will be adjudicating a rape.
They're going to sequester me. They're going to sequester me.
That's it. He's going to be up in a hotel room in Anaheim for the next month and a half. Okay, then. So,
I think we had a bit of housekeeping.
We did.
To do at the
everyone,
top. It was a big week for the Will Sean Podcast. A
couple of things. First of all, 125 downloads the last episode. Amazing. So you all listened when we told you what to do, and we're very thankful for it. So keep that up. We have over 40 subscribers now, almost 50 subscribers. So awesome. Let's hope for this episode, get it up over 150, maybe even 175.
I think we could do it.
A man can dream.
And one of the reasons we could do it is that we now have a Facebook page, something we seriously were lacking.
Yes, the Facebook page. It's your source for all Will Sean Podcast Facebook-related minutia. We will be talking about upcoming guests. There you can find links to their sites. Whenever we discuss maybe a movie or a clip or something, we can put something on there. We're going to have photos, questions. It'll just be a great forum for all you Will Sean Podcast friends to talk.
And if I wasn't needy enough, like us. Please just go on and like us.
It's not enough when one of us posts, hey, we have a page for Will Sean Podcast. Don't like the comment where I'm mentioning the page. You need to go to the page and like the page. Like the group, not the... You know, not the mention of the group. But, yeah, we have now 72 fans in 3 days.
That's pretty
good. So, once again, let's see if we can get that up to about 150. And
we could do it.
We can do it. If anyone can do it, it's us.
And with the help of our sponsor will help. Who's our sponsor?
Oh, our sponsor this week. Do you suffer from social anxiety? Are you the wallflower at the party? Well, with the new miracle drug, Shiagra, worry no more. Just pour a 1.5-ounce dose using their applicator cup and knock it back. In no time at all, you'll be the king of the party. The women will love you, the men will admire you, and all will bow to your will. Note, if the effects of Shiagra last more than 4 hours, please seek medical attention immediately. So,
I took some of that Sunday night.
Did you? How'd it go?
It loosened me up. That's for sure.
Well, there's a lot of ways to take that.
This week on the podcast, it's a good episode. We got a lot of games to discuss. We're going to be talking a little bit more about The Hunger Games, which apparently everyone in the world saw. We're going to be talking about Game of Thrones, which apparently everyone enjoys. And we have a terrific enemy of the podcast. They're a little surprise, a little have to do with a high school student. And so we'll be talking about
poor
that
high school student.
And now we have a terrific guest. She has a terrific webcomic. She's a fantastic artist, and she's also a professional dominatrix, should we go with, or should we go with Switch?
Dominatrix works. I appreciate that you explained what a Switch is, though.
Thank you, yes.
Switch, Dom,
what were we going to say her name?
Oh, my God, yes. Nick Buxom is with us.
A.K.A. Nikki the Switch.
Hello. Yes.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for trekking out on this freezing night.
Yes. Well, cold. You know, I like a little pain now and then.
It is true. Yeah.
So I guess where we should start off is, I mean, we'll get to the comic, which is terrific, but we should really start off with how you got into this line of work, of working at a dungeon and the whole BDSM scene.
It's not that exciting a tale, and it's one of the questions
make
I
it exciting.
Ask I can't. I could lie to you all, but, you know.
Well, we have fact checkers on this show, so.
I'm too honest anyway.
There you go.
So I was into this way back in high school, before I was even legal, before I even knew what BDSM was or knew anyone else was into this stuff. I've just always been interested in things like that. So I don't know where that came from.
That's a whole different
But
that's for the therapy podcast.
Exactly. But I was already playing with friends and things in the lifestyle scene, as we call it. And I was actually attending parties at the dungeon that I now work at.
Okay.
And one day I heard, surprisingly enough, I found them in a newspaper ad.
What the hell's a
newspaper
ad?
That they were hiring. What?
What's a newspaper?
What's
no, in this day and age.
Well, yes. I like to read, so, you know.
Books.
Yes. I'm not a good guest for you guys. I'm more books, less film. But, sorry. But anyway, so I found an ad, and I was like, hey, I know that dungeon, and it said they were hiring, and I thought, I can get paid to do what I already do for fun, and thus I began working as a professional.
Now, once you became professional, and there were requests, made of you, was it different than just playing casually with your
friends?
Totally
different. It's two different worlds. The professional scene is more about the fantasy.
Right.
You have to be more polished. You're replicating what these guys look at porn on the internet at home. The lifestyle scene is a lot more nerdy and a lot casual.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, and a lot more you can be yourself and it's silly. And, you know, the professional scene is, you know, you have to be professional.
Now, I remember the night I met you, and me and Sean had a mutual friend who had told us she spends a lot of time hanging out at a dungeon. And I was like, an S&M dungeon? And she was like, yeah. And I started asking her questions, and she was like, well, why don't you and Sean come down one night, and I'll introduce you to my friend Nikki, and she'll, like, show you around, and she'll talk
to
you.
And I'd already known you through this mutual friend. We met a couple of times.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, we got to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're going to this S&M club. This is going to be great. And I remember sitting there starting to get a little apprehensive because I didn't know what it was going to be like.
Well, the first question was, well, how do I need to dress? What do we need to wear?
And I was told that the theme of this party was wartime pleasures.
Yes, but military.
All my wartime pleasure clothes were, of course, at the cleaner at the time. So I was just wearing like a t-shirt and jeans. And I'm like, and I remember me and Sean were driving down there.
Well, so I didn't want to go by myself. I drove with Will. And I said, we're going to wait till one of these people we know gets there because I don't know what we're getting ourselves into. We got the address and we're driving down, and it's basically in an old warehouse underneath the landing strip for LAX.
Yeah, it's
kind of in
industrial.
That's where you get zoning for.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't know the building from the
outside.
You wouldn't at all.
It's just a cinder block building, no signs.
It's nothing. Pretty shady. So
yes.
Will and I are sitting in the car, and I'm waiting. I'm texting our friend. I'm like, are you there yet? Will and I are waiting. What the hell's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And we're sitting there, and I see a man walk past the car, and I whip my head around. I go, Will, I think a Nazi just walked past our car. And sure enough, there was a man in full World
SS.
War II. Yeah, SS officer's outfit with the hat and complete to the nines costume. So that sort of set the tone of what we were getting.
Well, what was interesting about it was I was feeling even more apprehensive at that moment, not because of necessarily what he was wearing, but he was so dressed up and we weren't. And then I saw some guy walk in like a Dodgers jersey.
Yeah, like, okay,
and then
good.
I'm like, okay, I guess you could just anything's fine here. And I remember you saying to me, Sean, you said, is anyone going to touch me? Because I have boundary issues. And I go, no one's going to touch you. But in my head, I'm like, they're going to touch me. And it's going to be bad. But we walked in there and immediately any preconceived notions we had of what a club like this would be were completely shattered. It was so much more different, more welcoming, in fact, also.
That's good to hear.
I found that because we expected we'd walk in because, you know, it had been referred to as like a club and we thought it might be more of a club. But no, you walk in.
Like a nightclub with pounding music. And
dancing.
Yeah.
And then like just weird things going on in the corner.
Dark corridors for dark demons.
But instead, it's not dark.
Well, there's a lot of like actual like dance clubs that have their BDSM corner. So a lot of people go to those. And there's like two people playing in the corner.
That's not
really
right.
Well, what this is just for
the BDSM club,
for those
this
at home.
Not.
Normally during the week, this is a full-on club. If I were a
explain what's like during the week.
What's different about our dungeon is it's not a dance club that has BDSM night. It's a functioning business 7 days a week, and so during the week, when we're not having parties, we're having private clients come in for one-on-one interaction with our girls. And we employ different girls. I'm one of them, you know. And
now,
they pay for time with us. And then on the weekends, we have parties where the public can come in and watch and play and enjoy our space.
Now that night, I said it was very welcoming, but it was kind of weird because I met you and we were talking. Like a woman would come and she'd be like walking a guy on a leash. And she would just start to have a conversation with us, very friendly, and the guy would start to move, and she'd pull on the leash and be like, "Hey, like, stay," like, and like, keep talking to us. So it was surreal, but it was friendly, and everyone's enjoying themselves.
And let us
themselves.
Also mention the amount of beautiful women in various states of un to non dress walking around. And you'd be having conversations with these women, and I'd just be thinking, I wouldn't be talking to this person in another context, but here it seems okay.
Yeah.
And now something about the scene is also odd to me. Like, we walk in a room, and there'd be a woman, like, tied to, like, a naked, tied to, like, a
spider web,
while another woman is flogging her, and then there's a guy in the corner, like, just reading a book.
On the floor, reading a book in jeans and a t-shirt. I guess that must have been his fetish.
Yeah, it's a really mixed bag, and a lot of people are people who come here every week.
Yeah.
And so,
oh, clearly, there are people who are way too comfortable there,
well,
just hanging
they
out.
Feel at home, and so they will sit down in a corner and read a book while their friend or their partner is playing with someone else, and, you know, it's sort of my home, so I'm the same way. I would take naps on the doggy beds if I was bored.
To paraphrase Hannah Arendt, when I was there, I was basically struck by the banality of sexuality that was going on. I mean, on the one hand, it was very arousing. On the other hand, it was very matter-of-fact and blasé. It was like, oh, of course there's a man getting whipped worse than Indiana Jones would do to his hated enemy. And, you know, of course there's a woman in a cage swinging 7 feet above my head while people stick cattle prods at her through the gaps.
Now, if I may say, I think the way I endeared myself to you that night was you had gotten a cattle prod. You had like a new cattle prod.
Oh, it's not new.
Well, but, I think it was new at the time.
It's just one of my favorite toys.
Well, anyway, you had this thing and you said...
You were new. That's what was exciting.
And Nikki had said like, oh, can I cattle prod you? And I was like,
Jack and Coke.
Yeah, I don't know about this. And you were basically saying, I mean, you didn't hide that there would be pain, but you were also saying that it wouldn't be as necessarily as bad. You described it as like kind of like a hard pinch.
That's what it's like.
Yeah. And I'm like, and you seemed a little, you know, slightly disappointed that you couldn't cattle prod me. And we were walking around the place, and you had brought it up again. And in my head, I'm like, you know, she's being such a good host.
You owed it to me.
I owed it to you. And I remember... turning to you and be like, okay, you could cattle prod me. And you were like, really? And I was like, yes. And then you kind of nonchalant was like, you know, you got to pull down your pants. And I'm like, look, I don't care about taking
my
pants off.
You just getting deeper and deeper.
Yeah. I don't care about taking my pants off.
We need to ground you.
Yeah, I don't want to get electrocuted.
Bite down on this stick.
But, I let you cattle prod me, and you were right. It wasn't that bad.
And
It's not at all. And it's one of my favorite toys, so I'm always jumping at the opportunity to cattle prod people. And even the girls I work with are not interested in the cattle prod. There's a handful of us who tolerate it. But no one will try, and I keep trying to explain, this is not half as bad as a caning, a paddling, you know, a
tickle torture.
Single tail. Yeah. Trust me, it's for an instant, but it's scary. That's what it is.
Well,
it's scary.
No. See, I'm terrified of sharks and electricity, so I wasn't having any of it.
Well, I used to be terrified of electricity, too, but I am a changed woman now.
Well, that brings up a question. Like, is there anything that you... Like, do you feel the need to, I have to experience this if I'm going to dish this out to somebody?
Yes. It's sort of debated in the scene whether or not that's a necessity, but I personally want to know what I'm doing to the other person, and I'm not comfortable using a tool I haven't felt and worked with. So absolutely, even if I don't like a toy, I want to try it first so I know what my bottom's experiencing. And I think that makes me a better dom.
I would think so, too. Honestly, it sounds ethical, in a way, to do something like that.
The ethics of BDSM.
Again, it's up for debate in the scene, but that's a widely
supported
idea.
Make sure that
idea.
I don't go to a dom who does not hold by your ethical standards.
Well, that's why...
She's like, I don't know what this shit is. It just came out of the box. I'm going to jam some batteries in it. Let's play.
That's why negotiation is so important.
Okay.
And a lot of people will just play with a stranger they don't know, and they won't talk it out first, and that's not smart. No matter who you play with, negotiate the scene ahead of time. Tell them what's okay and what's not, and then you'll have a better scene.
Now, how does a conversation like that go? Well, like when
actually, let me have a step back. So I walk in the middle of the week. Wednesday, I got a lunch break. I decide... I'm going to try this. So I would walk into your dungeon. I'm imagining, and this is a bad metaphor, and feel free to jump down my throat on this.
Okay.
Back in the Old West, they walk into the whorehouse, and they would just like have the women come out, and you could pick like who...
You know what? We do kind of have that. And we actually discussed whether or not we were going to have that in our dungeon.
Yeah.
We actually jokingly call it the cattle call.
Yeah.
And a lot of girls don't like it and find it demeaning, but I support it, and I don't find it demeaning, but what I like about it is, yeah, the guy might have seen me online, and he might have seen my pictures, and he might have emailed me, but he hasn't had a chance to see me in person and hear my voice and feel my touch yet. So to walk out and to shake hands with the client and to make eye contact and say, hi, I'm Nikki, gives me a chance to really make
that first connection. But also gives you a chance to size them up, too, and be like...
Oh, yeah. And now that's just the introduction. Right. So what we do kind of do is... He comes in, say you came in, and the desk girl would be there. That's the first person who would receive you, and she doesn't work. She just handles the desk.
Right.
And she'd ask you, do you want to see a dom, switch, or sub?
Yeah.
And then, depending on what you chose, she would send those girls to greet you.
Gotcha.
And so each girl would take her turn just saying, hi, this is who I am. And then after you'd met everyone, you get to pick who you want to talk to.
Okay.
So if somebody struck your fancy...
Yeah.
It's not like you just go in a room and start whipping each other.
Yeah.
You have to sit down and you have to talk.
Right.
And you have to talk out what you're into and what she's into and make sure it all matches up and that you know the rules and that everybody's comfortable with everything.
So you can't say, like, put me in a leash, kick me a few times and stomp my nuts. All right, let's go.
You can, but she'll probably, because we are professional, she'll probably say, okay, well, do you want to do anything else?
Yeah.
Do you want to do a role play here? How hard can I hit you?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. She'll get the necessary information and safe words. She'll tell you, here's your safe word. If, you know, I'm going too hard.
You get a big bowl full of just slips of paper with random safe words, and some are silly, some are...
You know, that's a big thing in the lifestyle scene. People pick ridiculous safe words just to be silly, like... Cinnamon cross bun ponies.
Yeah, by the time I get that out of my mouth, I'm bleeding from six holes.
But that's the thing, we don't do that. We have a house safe word that's mercy, and that's just so everyone remembers it. It's easy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for every situation. If you're doing a torture scene, somebody might want to call mercy. So some people have their own safe words.
Gotcha.
I play with the popular yellow-red
stoplights.
Gotcha. Yellow, slow down. Red, stop. It's really easy to know.
Because I would just yell, stop. If something, like my instinctual, I don't think I would be good
with
a safe word.
But that's the
problem
with BDSM is...
Because they want a little bit...
You want to say, no, mistress, stop, please, ouch. But some scenes, if you're not doing a role play, that's okay. Like, I have a lot of clients I've worked with a long time, and we're not role playing, and we know each other. And we can just say that. We can just say, you know what, you're going a little hard.
I would be the worst because I would be like, Nikki, don't stop, and then you stop. I keep going. I would be like confusing. I'm too. I'm like.
That's why you have a safe word though, so you can beg me to stop, but
I'd
I won't
get my safe word, or I'd
don't,
want
we'll
it to
tattoo
be silly.
It on your hand.
Yeah, that's
I think I'd be able to read you. Well.
What are some of your favorite things to do then? What are your like? Mentioned electricity.
I am an electricity dom. That's my specialty, and I enjoy it as a specialty because it's rare. A, because people are terrified of electricity. B, it's very dangerous.
You're like fucking Magneto. You walk. It's like a Tesla coil. Just
actually, that's exactly what a violet wand is.
Seen you work with the violet wand. It's fascinating.
So it's dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, it's okay. But it can be very dangerous. Yeah. And
a violet wand is basically a wand that channels electricity in the body. Is you put a contact point under the flesh.
Well, that's one of the ways to play.
Okay, well, one of the ways. And you're basically creating a field of electricity of electric shocks over the person's body. It's fascinating to watch. It's very cool. If you think about when you touch an electric globe, and the way that the lightning gravitates towards your fingers through static electricity, imagine turning the whole body into just an electric conductor.
And that's called grounding someone, and it's called a violet wand because of the beautiful purple color it creates. But if you use different bulbs that have different gases, you can actually get almost every color of the rainbow. But the last reason people don't play with electricity is those tools are very expensive. Hundreds of dollars minimum. And usually more.
Oh, I like to get my violet wand secondhand. You get kind of loose wiring, some shoddy connection.
Yeah, you know what?
It sparks
and
out
on me.
It's
actually a very finicky tool, but they're more likely to break than to hurt someone.
Now,
that's just one of the many electrical tools.
No real segue here, but I'm curious if there are any stories, anything, if there's any like interesting or without necessarily
listeners at home want to know.
Yeah, something strange because you've probably been asked to do strange things. You've probably been with weird people.
I want you to be Peter Sellers and being there.
Yeah, I mean something like.
That's hard because there are so many. that's why I have my webcomic, because there are just so many stories to tell. And so I just have endless scripts written for me.
Any new ones?
I do have a new one. And it's with a client that I've talked about before. And he's always giving me gold. And I thought he wasn't going to give me anything new because I thought we'd reached our peak. And he actually came in recently and we did something new. So if you read the comic, then you'll remember this is the guy who was the weirdest thing I'd ever done. So that's worth reading into if you don't read the comic.
And has he topped himself?
He kind of has. This isn't as weird, but it was shocking to me. And it's the first time I've done this. So this particular client is into me because I don't shave any of my body hair. I have hairy legs and hairy armpits. And that's a big fetish. And that's another thing I specialize in. So he likes that I'm a hairy girl. And he likes that I'm a curvy girl.
Electric hair and orchestra.
Hmm?
Nothing. Bad joke. Moving on.
So I'm very much his type in that regard. And his sessions usually consist of me lip syncing to deep male voices.
It's like a David Lynch film.
And I'm not talking like songs, like spoken word male voices. And I have to look angry and lip sync to them. So I've been seeing him for years, and it's a really fun session, and there's nobody like him. And he came in the other day, and I was like, oh, good to see you. And he was like, could you wear a brown wig? And I was like, okay, like, sure.
Or browner than your natural hair? Or
brown. Okay. My hair's I change it all the time.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so, but he wanted brown, and we actually had to, like, pick the right wig out. Yeah. We have lots of wigs available. Yeah,
a lot of toys there.
Yes. And cross-dressers love the wigs, so plenty of wigs. So we picked a wig out, and he was very specific about the color. And we get in the room, and I have my wig on, and I'm ready to, like, start the same thing. And he's like, I brought you something to wear. And I'm thinking, oh, cool, because clients will bring me lingerie and panties and cute things. So I'm like, yay. And he pulls out a mock beard and mustache. And we proceed to tape this beard and mustache on my face and put on dark glasses and make me look like the friggin' Unabomber. And I have to conduct the session that way. And I'm primarily naked in this. We don't go full naked, but I'm almost entirely naked. And I have a very female body. But I have this full giant beard and mustache and long brown wig on for the entire session. So.
ZZ Topless.
Yes, it was. Yes, that would have summed it up beautifully.
That's insane. I have a question about this, and it just kind of came to me. Do you consider this maybe a little headier than what we're talking about? But if a married man comes to you, would you consider they come for some sort of fantasy fulfillment?
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider interactions with you or, you know, a dom or sub? Would you consider that like an infidelity on behalf of a person who's in a relationship?
I'm surprised you're the first person to ask me that.
Really?
I think people think it and they're afraid to ask me that.
We're asked the hard-hitting questions on Will's
podcast. No, it's a great question. Firstly, most of the men who come see us are married.
Yeah.
And they're mostly older men with money who are married and have families.
Yeah.
And
well, I just can't wait till I'm an older man with money. And
yeah, someday you'll be coming to see me, Sean.
Supposedly.
But the thing about it, I feel a little sad that they can't talk to their wives about their fetish. But I understand, too. Because you can't just walk up to any girl in the bar and be like,
put on a beard, hey, and a mustache.
Would you wear this beard and mustache for me every time we have sex? And you know, very few women are going to marry into that.
Yeah.
There are some, absolutely. You know, but so
in
I understand
puritanical society.
I understand why they come to us, and there's no sex at all in our dungeon. There's no sex. There's no penetration. There's no fluid swapping. Okay. So in that regard, I don't feel like they're cheating on their wives. Also, we get all types. We have men come in who do these things with their wives.
Mm-hmm.
Their wives are aware. We have men come in who say, "I tried to talk to my wife about doing this, and she said I don't want to do it. Find someone else." And they came in. Yeah, all sorts of things. There are guys who won't tell them. There are guys who the wives give the blessing to come here. There are guys who the wife tried it, said, I don't like it, you know, so
okay.
There's all types, but I don't consider it an infidelity. You know, I wish
like
everyone
playing.
Could be
I mean, it's,
honest
it's kind
with
of,
their partners.
From what I've seen of the times I've gone and sort of witnessing it, thinking through it, it seems like playing with somebody, but with a sexual, I mean, it's a sexual fantasy, but when you reduce it to what it is, it's really silly games.
Yeah,
in a
exactly.
Way,
that's
know.
The thing is,
except for the fact that there are, you know, there's the possibility of arousal,
right.
Which sort of blurs the line, but if you remove the sexual arousal element, you're playing silly games with people.
That's exactly how I think of it. I mean, obviously there's a sexual arousal there, and it is therefore considered the sex industry and sexual, but it's not sometimes it's stuff that would happen in everyday life, and it's nothing you would think about. Like guys who want to look at your bare feet. Like, these guys go out and they look at the girls on the beach with their bare feet.
That's true.
And they're thinking the same things, you know? So it's...
Well, that's why I can't go to the beach anymore.
That's why they won't let you.
They
got a photo of you on the beach.
Every 15 like, feet.
Men
no.
just lunge to suck on those toes, Sean. I can understand.
We're going to have to move on to the topic soon, but I want to talk about your webcomic real quick and your blog. Because it's terrific, it's funny, the artwork is fantastic. Yeah, and it's informative.
If you guys have any questions, if you wanted to know what it's like a day in the life of a BDSM switch, a dom, all your questions are answered in this webcomic. And not only does she draw comics, but she, Nikki, will give the story behind the comic and give you a little bit of insight into... Hey, this is my life, and this is the craziness that
I'm painfully honest and open.
And it's fantastic. How long have you been doing the webcomic?
Over 2 years.
Now, is this something what made you decide that you wanted to? Have you always drawn? Have you always wanted to use an outlet like this for?
Yeah, I've always been an artist since I was a child.
It's not to be whipping the shit out of men, frying them with electric wands. Now you need to draw about it. I need more of an outlet.
Well, I was the child who always was drawing and thing. People go, when did you start drawing? I'm like, I don't know. When I was 1 year old.
When I could grab my poop out of my diaper.
Everybody draws, and I've just always been interested in art. And I actually conceived of the comic because I was talking on a forum one day about someone suggested to me I start blogging about what I do for a living and saying that that's so interesting, you should blog about it. And I thought about it and I thought, you know, I've always wanted to do a comic. I like to draw. Here's my chance. I have the content. I just need to sit down and draw it.
Right.
It writes itself. And so that's how Nick Buxom was born. And honestly, when I started it, I thought it was going to be a pet project just to get me familiar with the genre, and then I would move on to my own personal work, and then it just exploded. I thought it would be my friends reading it, and when I was comfortable, I would move on and do some fantasy thing.
How many readers do you have?
You know, it's so hard to say. I get over 2,000 unique views a day.
Okay.
But not all of those people are active, so I can't...
It's hard to track.
...tell you. Yeah, I can't tell you. But it's pretty good at this point. We definitely have a lot of active people.
Excellent.
It's really terrific. And just give them the website so they know anyone who's...
It's nickbuxom.com, and that's nicbuxom.com.
And we're going to have a link to it as well on our...
On our new Facebook page.
Which you all like and love.
And you're going to like the link to the Nick Buxom thing. It's really terrific. It's funny. It's a lot of fun. The artwork's great. Go to it. View it. And, you know, while you're at it, why don't you go down to
the
club and...
Well, you could send, if you're interested, you could send Nikki a message on her comic. And
I'm really present and really easy to reach, so you can always email me with any questions.
And as I said, that going down to the club, it was a very welcoming place, and Nikki is one of the reasons for that, so...
Yeah, maybe we'll have to organize a special Will Sean podcast outing.
We could podcast from the dungeon.
I would love to. And we could have a series of doms and submissives come in.
If you guys wanted to interview all the girls, they'd be so for it.
What we have to do.
We'll have to discuss this.
Future, we are writing it down. Future Will Sean podcast from the S&M
And you guys
club.
Might even get a free spanking out of it.
Excellent.
I was planning on getting a free spanking anyway.
I was planning on paying for it.
Oh, see, Sean knows what's up. We have to eat. I'm cheap.
I'm losing a lot of money this week because I'm on jury duty, so I want to get all
you
my...
You guys could always have a couple session.
Hey, yeah.
I don't... Okay, well, so...
So the topics of the week. Let's see, what's going on this week?
It doesn't cost extra.
I know, there was a little movie that came out. I was very excited about it last week.
The Deep Blue Sea with Rachel Weisz.
Deep Blue Sea with Rachel Weisz came out, and it grossed over $100 million. No, it is Hunger Games. I went to the midnight showing at the Arclight Theater with a bunch of screaming teenagers, which makes me wonder what it must be like for the Twilight movies.
Oh, and that's going to be a future adventure for myself and Will.
Screaming middle-aged women.
Exactly.
Well, Will and I are thinking about going to the midnight screening for Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. Because we will never again witness something like this. It's a unique, singular experience to be at the midnight screening of the last movie in the Twilight series. Neither one of us are Twilight fans, But it's going to be so weird.
Well, I was sitting in front of a group at Hunger Games. I was sitting in front of a group of young girls. They must have been like 15 or something like that. And there's a scene where Katniss kisses someone. And it's not even a terribly romantic thing, but all the girls shrieked with such delight. And when the movie's over, I turned to my friend Allie, who's seen all the Twilight movies in the theater at midnight. I said, so is that what it's like at Twilight? She's like, kind of. Just imagine that for 2 hours straight. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I'm like, I may have to just see what that is. But Hunger Games, we talked about it last week. Biggest opening day ever for a non-sequel. And it's Friday, it made $68.3 million. That's fifth all time. Biggest opening weekend ever for a non-sequel. Third biggest overall at $152 million.
That was domestic, and then globally, $214 million.
Cinema score of an A. And also the audience breakdown, it was 61% female. It's a very female-driven, Katniss is a very strong female protagonist. But it still shows that a lot of men were going to this, unlike the Twilight films, which I think are 85% female.
And Sean and Will.
Now, you were
you guys don't classify as either.
We're beyond sex at this point. We're beyond sexual. I really enjoyed The Hunger Games. I thought they captured... There are some minor quibbles I have... but I really overall enjoyed it. Now, you're not familiar with
The only thing I know about it is everyone's been talking about it. I know the title. That's it.
Well, I've already summarized the plot in two previous podcasts.
Yeah,
I will not
do it again. But to summarize the plot, it's about a dystopian. No. But it is science fiction. You like a lot of, like, sci-fi.
I had never heard of it until all of a sudden it's on these billboards. I don't know what that's about.
But earlier you said... You knew books.
Books better than that, I assume.
Oh. No, okay. No, but to be fair, it is a young adult book, but I think it's a fun book.
They prefer to be called YA novels.
That's the word on the street. But
I was reading young adult novels when I was in elementary school.
I was reading Stephen King in elementary school.
Yeah,
let me tell you, that'll fuck a kid up. You don't be 11 and read It. You won't sleep for a month.
Oh, my God. That was the most terrifying book I had ever read. I read it in elementary school also.
Where were our parents?
I liked Midnight by Koontz.
Oh, so I would never got to
that. Oh, my God. Sorry. That was one of my favorites.
I was purely just Stephen King.
Well, I loved both.
At the elementary school book fair, they had a whole bunch of Stephen King books, and I'm like,
who's there?
What?
These books not getting vetted? I learned about masturbation and ejaculation from the dark half. And I said, like, what did he do on the bed? I don't understand what this plot point is.
You know what's weird? My family never censored anything like that with me, so I don't find it strange at all.
I've talked many times on this, that, like, my father was showing me Taxi Driver at, like, 9 years old, so I wasn't censored with
I was always watching horror films. That was my genre since I was a kid, and they just let me. I mean, they might have been like, is this good for her? Well, she seems fine, you know, so.
Well, all I'm going to say with The Hunger Games is, you know what? Good. I'm glad it's fucking doing well because it beat those Twilight films, and it's a better made film than those, and it's got someone who can act in it with Jennifer Lawrence, who's a terrific actress.
She's Martin Lawrence's sister, right?
Yeah, Martin Lawrence's sister, Jennifer Lawrence, and she's fucking better than fucking Werewolf Boy, who is the worst actor in leading roles today. I'm not even going to remember his name because he plays a werewolf.
Taylor Lautner.
And he's awful.
Yes.
Moving on.
Yes.
Last weekend, Zooby Zooby Zoo, a terrific television show, came back, Mad Men.
Yeah, which we spoke about last week, but if you haven't seen it, watch it. But if you've never seen Mad Men, do not jump in here. You need to start from the beginning.
And another week comes, and another terrific television show starts up again, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, not The Killing. Fuck The Killing.
Fuck The Killing.
I'll never find out who killed Rosie Larson. I gave up on that show.
But Game of Thrones, a terrific series based on...
It's heavy fantasy based on the massive, mammoth, epic, and voluminous book series by George R. R. Martin. Fantasy world, geopolitics, lots of coolness, lots of...
Sounds like a blast.
I'm not doing it justice. It's phenomenal, but it's hard fantasy, and I have to give HBO credit for putting their money on the line for creating the show, for sticking with this vision, for not compromising it, and it's unlike anything that's on television.
The thing that got me about the first season of this, and we're going to get to your opinions, Nikki, in a second on this, was it took me a while to get into it because it's a little difficult because I didn't know who the hell anyone was.
Right,
I didn't know there's the Lannisters and there's the
Baratheons.
The Baratheons. And I'm like, who are these people? And they didn't really explain how everyone interconnected.
And you kind of
had to pick it up as it went along.
And also there's a history. There's thousands of years of history in this land, none of which we are familiar with. And you have to kind of figure out, okay, what happened with these people? What are the relationships? Who was king? Who deposed who? What happened? What was this dynasty like? You're getting thrown into this massively complicated geopolitical scheme of which you have no clue and no bearing and no frame of reference.
None of that was my problem.
No, see, because my problem is because it took me a while to warm up to it for that reason. By the end of the season, I understood the relationships. Now, what was – you don't like the show.
We started out watching it, and to be fair, this was another one where I didn't know anything about it, and I hadn't heard anything about it. I don't watch TV, so I'm terrible. I'm, you know, not like you guys. Anyway, I had it recommended to me by so many friends who I share opinions with, and so I thought, okay, let's give it a shot. We started watching it, and we enjoyed it, and we watched through the whole first season, and by the end, we said, this is terrible, and we're not continuing it.
The last shot of the first season, so good.
With
the fire.
Here's why for me. And
don't spoiler alert.
No.
They've had a year to watch this show.
Okay.
I'm not gonna give any spoilers. It's really simple. It's not like, it's just that I feel the villains are extremely two-dimensional. Extremely. They're just every scene from the moment you first see them. You hate them.
See, here's the one thing about
the blonde.
They have these faces, and not to throw too much to anyone.
If you were to read the book series and see where it goes.
Okay, but that's everyone's defense. Yeah. Every time I say I didn't like it, and here's why, their defense is, did you read the books? And I say no.
But
and
even
they go,
in book one,
well, this is the closest to the books. And
here's
I'm
the
like,
thing.
It
book
doesn't
one,
mean anything.
You can't. But even in book one, they're very black and white villains.
I hate it.
By the time the series, as the series progresses. There is so much great characters who you hate and are just cardboard villains, all of a sudden become heroes. It's insane how he develops and builds and changes these characters and changes your relationship to these characters. And you get to the point where, like, holy shit, I'm rooting for this guy who I absolutely hated.
I don't care if they switch sides. Yeah. My problem with it is even villains are people.
No,
and
that's
they
what I'm saying. They're not
they
switching sides. They're still following the same actions and paths of action, but they've been shaded and they are humans and you see their actions within a human context.
This isn't the book. This is the
And she's got a point. This is its own thing.
That's my point. Even if you just read book one.
And you only read book one.
We can't afford it. But we're not talking about...
The books are great.
No. But what I'm saying is that if you were just to read book one, you would have the exact same complaints.
Okay, so you're
book one, the characters are just as cardboard and just as two-dimensional. Mm. It's over the course of the series as these characters develop.
Well, you know what makes them a little less one-dimensional for me is that Peter Dinklage's character, who's brilliant. We can all agree he's terrific on the show, Peter Dinklage. What's his character's name?
His name is Tyrion Lannister.
He's a member of the people that are villainous, but we don't find him villainous.
Yeah, no, I actually liked him.
And I guess it's because runt of the litter. Yeah.
You know what,
thing.
Though? But he has his own morals and scruples, and he's not... he's trying to get lots of things, but he's not trying to get the same things as the other ones. But he at least has sympathy for people. He has his own motivations. He's a whole character. Whereas everyone else is like, I'm just going to say something shitty for the sake of being shitty. I'm just an asshole.
I'm
going to
argue with you, but only because I have a lot. I've read all five books and I've
Right, so you have more background, but I'm talking just from watching the first series.
And you know why I also like Peter Dinklage? Because he slapped the shit out of that fucking Joffrey, the fucking king.
Yeah.
Fuck that kid.
Speaking
of... One thing, wait, real quick, that I want to bring up about Game of Thrones, and I know we're running very long on this episode, but what I like about it is they have this... all the exposition... It's sexposition. Yeah. That exposition is doled out in the series while people are fucking, while people are naked.
Well, just an extreme...
It makes it more visually interesting. Spartacus does the same thing. Oh, it's a little more interesting to watch two people fucking while they say how they're going to take on the Lannisters.
Completely superfluous 8-minute lesbian sex scenes?
I'm a big... Well, if you can have exposition
in it... I
was
about to say, maybe I'm desensitized, but that doesn't stand out to me at all.
All right, well...
Well, look at what
speaking
you...
Speaking of sex in inappropriate places...
Okay, or highly appropriate places, we have to move on. And I'm gonna tell a little story here.
Yes, it's a tragic tale.
It's a tragic tale. There was this last week in the news, big story. Maybe not big story. We're probably breaking it to you now. But there was a Minnesota high school student
named... sweet high school senior.
It's like a little cherubed face... Sweet
curly
brown
diapers.
Well, not that young.
He's a high school student, and you know, what's big in high school? The senior prom. It's a big senior prom. And he decided, this smart young man, decided to take to Twitter. And he tweeted...
Mike Stone was it?
Mike Stone. I forgot to say his name. Mike Stone. This cherub face fucking kid.
Virginal child.
Virginal child. And he decided to take to Twitter. And he's like, I'm going to find a date to the prom. And he tweeted... porn stars.
600 of them.
Was it 600?
He tweeted about 600 people.
Jesus. He tweeted these porn stars and he said, hey, will you come to the prom with me? Hey, like, I'll you know, pay for the limo and everything.
Right. No, I'll pay for your flight even.
Well, no. There's a catch in that. And he said, I'll could you come to the prom with me? And a lot of porn stars wrote back, oh, no, sweetie, no, I can't go to the, because they're not going to go to some high school prom. But then one lovely young porn star named Megan Piper. She said...
Look her up.
I will... Look her up. She's spectacular. And she said, I will go to the prom with this kid.
And she has a sweet backstory, sob story. She never went to her prom.
So
and she's only 19 years old. So
she wants to go to her prom.
She's making up for lost time. So this boy's like, great, he's going with the porn star, this is going to be great. She's like, well, I can't really afford to fly out there. And I think it was a local beer company said, we will pay for your flight, this is great. And then, horror, the superintendent of the school district said, porn stars can't come to the prom for the good of the school. So this week, Patty Phillips... the superintendent of this Minnesota high school district. You are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you for getting in the way
of true love.
Of true love. Fuck you for getting in the way of true love. Come on, people. Who gives a shit? It's not like she's going to blow him on the dance floor.
Well, I think that was part of their contract.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But, she was probably going to blow him after the prom, let's face it.
Yeah, but as long as it's not on prom property, who cares?
Prom owns the whole high school.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, is it really for the... I mean, let's look at this practically. Is it really affect anything?
No, and if she didn't know, no one would ever know except, oh man, Mike Stone really bought a hot chick to prom. Where did he find her?
Yeah, exactly. He could go out and buy a prostitute to bring to prom.
I mean, my personal investment in this
is... You rent a prostitute.
I work in the sex industry. And if you read my comic, you'll know I'm very about saying, hey, we're people too. We're human. We come home at night and we make dinner and we watch
Game
of Thrones and we have opinions on them. So... I feel bad for her. She's just a sweet girl who's going to get the chance to go to prom. And everybody else is going, porn stars, not allowed, because,
Yeah, you're right.
They're devious, horrible people who are going to corrupt our youth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she probably looked at this.
My youth.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Look at you now.
I know.
I mean, look,
generous.
It's also a shrewd...
Ruined man.
On her part, it's also a shrewd business. This is
no one heard of me
now,
everybody.
Even if she doesn't go, now everybody's looking at her.
But there is something that, we don't know what's in her head, and she might have just been saying, I genuinely want it. Because, we were describing this kid before, but, it's not like this kid's not the Brad Pitt of his high school, So, this would have been... What's with this kid's parents, though? What do his parents think of this? Do we know?
I think they're supporting him.
I think
I read that they were like... Fuck it, if that's who he wants to go to prom with, let him.
I would like to think that if I had a son or daughter, I would support them to bring porn stars to the prom. Maybe not daughter, because these porn guys, I don't know if I would trust.
Out of trust. But if it's your son, you're like...
But only that, I would maybe trust my daughter.
Oh, sexism.
I don't think I'd care for
I wanted to tell you guys, I've listened to every single one of your podcasts, and you're both horrible people. And
really?
My readers are not going to like you.
Oh, no. Oh, no, really?
Oh, God, yeah.
But seeing as you're a dom, you better order them to like us.
Can't you?
Okay.
Aren't they all submissive and you could make them listen? Do you really think they're not going to like us?
You guys are inflammatory, and my readers tend to be very sensitive to a lot of social topics.
What? Oh, inflammatory? Give us an example.
Is that the same like flammable and inflammable?
What?
Never mind.
that's a hard limit, okay?
And let me tell you what, and that's the reason they're not going to listen. It's humor like that.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, can you think of it?
No, they're very...
I know last week I said some harsh language. It was about people talking in movie theaters.
I don't mean to make you nervous. They're very sensitive to being politically correct, I suppose.
Well,
which I'm totally not.
Yeah, then
so
I would... Wait a second. I would think the people who read the blog... about the woman in a sex industry would be fine with, like, what if
No, they're liberal, but they're, like, very fucking liberal, And
it's not like we're fucking fascists here.
But here's the thing, I'm liberal.
I'm like, you also are, you guys insult a lot of groups. That's all.
Listen, if you can't find the humor in every group and every, there's humor to be found everywhere.
No, absolutely. And I feel the same way.
You know what? Extreme liberals are just as insufferable as extreme conservatives.
I was listening to you guys and I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. I can't believe I'm going on here.
What have we said today?
No, just I don't even know what you said just now, but that was something sexist, you know. So
I don't think because here's the thing.
Here's
the thing. I yell and I'm hyperbolic, but we all know how much I love women.
I think you're hilarious. I remember thinking as I listened, fuck, my readers are going to give me flack for these guys.
I talk about the Semitic good looks and how I want to please women sexually
and otherwise.
I don't know. Somehow I equate that to me being a feminist in this situation.
Not everyone who likes pussy is a feminist. Well.
Let me tell you what. Hey, if you got a problem with me.
And not everyone who sucks cock is a chauvinist.
It's true. If you got a problem with me, I want you to email Will Sean.
Why don't you just throw it up on the board on our Facebook page?
I'm kind of hoping you get some angry emails because it would amuse me.
Oh, please.
It would amuse me.
Bring on the hate.
All right, well, this
is... We have to establish some sort of reputation.
This is ending on an odd note.
Well, we don't want to be like the Rush Limbaughs of the poorly listened to podcaster.
Because here's the thing. Because, I mean, obviously, like, I watch Rachel Maddow, and I... Defending myself, I sound worse.
Do you guys have any aspirin for me to put between my knees?
See, it's that fucking guy. Sorry. I've gone on anti-Santorum rants on the podcast.
I do have aspirin if you want some.
Could you... Put it there for me, because, you know, the recent schmushmortion, as you like to say.
That's how we're going to keep you from having...
I love that you guys don't know how you're being insulted.
I genuinely...
I was quoting a movie.
I genuinely...
It's not just that, you guys.
Because I guess because I'm like, I know I'm so...
I'm not offended. But I know who will be.
But you know what's funny? It's like I just said, like, I watch Rachel Maddow. That's the equivalent of saying, I have lots of black friends.
Right.
Like, that's the equivalent of saying that.
Oh, well, I have met your black friends.
That's right. I have lots of black friends.
No Muslim friends, though, strangely.
Well,
you
son of a bitch. But the point is, I think you're wrong. I think the people are going to like us. I think they know our hearts are pure.
Are they?
Or partially made out of titanium and plastic.
Okay, so
Your hearts are pure too, but, you know, we can take care of that later.
Email willseanpodcast@gmail.com or drop us a Facebook message about this. And seriously, go check out the Facebook page. The Will Sean Podcast Facebook page. And if you have anything to say on this episode, we're going to post a link to this episode and other things so you can leave some comments
there. If I get angry emails, I'm forwarding them
to you.
That's
fine.
Guys.
Forward them all to us.
Yeah.
Wow. This is interesting. Wow. This is fascinating.
We're creating enemies.
Good. Somebody's got to hate you for you to be.
I'll tell you what.
We're not hateable. We're lovable.
Oh.
Okay, now we're defending ourselves to the point of like, we sound pathetic.
Next week.
Next week. Sean, tell us about next week's guest.
Next week we have a girl, Alyssa Vaughn. No, that's not true. Her name's Alyssa Vaughn. She is beautiful and fun and spunky and nutty and hilarious and a little bit kooky, and we're going to have a great time. She is a stand-up comedian, and she does improv, and she's going to be on the show, and we're going to talk, and we're going to drink, and it's going to be... Probably a little over the top.
And so listen, if you know, maybe try to put your hate aside and listen to one more episode and listen to her episode because she's really funny and
she'll redeem you both, right?
I honestly thought you were going to redeem us.
Oh.
Okay, you can, little plugs here, you can follow me on Twitter @TheRealWillLink. And you can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. And, you know, I review movies there. I have my little segment linked to the movies. And you can give it a listen. And, you know, maybe I'm less offensive there.
Well, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSeanDavid. Or you can buy my book on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS. Available online wherever Amazon is accessed. And you can find us on
Facebook.
Of course,
I'm nickbuxom.com, and I'm also on Twitter at the same name, @nickbuxom.
And definitely follow her on Twitter, because she'll always post up links when she has a new... What's been great is about, not ever since I've signed up for Twitter, I always get the new link for your blog, and I go
and there's
to
RSS
see
feeds and stuff, too, that makes it easy.
That's
to
way too complicated for Will.
So are you guys going to be the enemy of the podcast, the next podcast?
No, never.
It's all in good fun, except for the fact I'm dead serious about everything I'm saying.
Yes, and he means it, people.
I love them, therefore you all should love them.
And I think on that note, we're finished.
We're finished.
Bye.